It's time for Dishing Up Nutrition with licensed nutritionist Darlene Kvist. Each week, Darlene explains the connection between what you eat and how you feel. Stay tuned to hear practical, real-life solutions for healthier living through good nutrition. Dishing Up Nutrition is brought to you by Nutritional Weight and Wellness.
Slow down, you move too fast. You got to make the moment last. Just kicking down the cobblestones. Looking for fun and feeling groovy.
Welcome to Dishing Up Nutrition, brought to you by Nutritional Weight and Wellness. I'm Darlene Kvist, licensed nutritionist, and I thank each of you for listening this morning. Joining me as our co-host is Cara Carper, and Cara is a nutrition counselor and a nutrition educator, and she has her master's degree in holistic health from St. Catharines University, and she sees clients at our Wayzata, Woodbury, and St. Paul office. My gosh, Cara. And so welcome to the show this morning. And our topic is one of your favorites.
It is.
How to get a good night's sleep. Isn't that great? And actually, Cara's going to be over on the phone lines this morning. So when people call in, you'll be hearing her voice first before mine. So,
yep. So wish me luck with that.
So we're going to talk about sleep, aren't we?
We are. We're going to talk about sleep. I feel like I have a lot of information to share. I've had sleep problems, so I have personal experiences to share. And also just information from the clients that I've seen, and I've been able to help them find cures for their sleep issues. And I know sufficient sleep, it's key to health, it's key to metabolism, memory, and just overall well-being.
You know, and I always go to Cara for sleep ideas for clients because, you know, like she said, not only on a, you know, she's had a personal experience with sleep problems, and then she's also helped a lot of other clients. And sometimes it helps to have that personal experience. So if you often have trouble getting enough sleep, you know, frankly, you're not alone. A study conducted by the National Institute of Health found that adults average about 6 hours of sleep on weekends, but many people only get about 5 hours. And that definitely is not enough sleep for people. Even our kids are not getting enough sleep. You know, kids need, and I'm talking about kids, I'm talking about adolescents, all kinds of ages of children, and they need at least 10 hours of sleep every night. So, and you just think about the number of hours that a lot of people are getting, and it certainly is not enough.
They're not getting 10, that's for sure.
That's right.
Well, a couple of questions to ask yourself. You know, how important is it to get sufficient sleep? And how can you tell if you're sleep deprived? So let's start with the question, how can you tell if you're sleep deprived? So I know when I've had problems sleeping, the next day I experience something that I would call brain fog, which is not thinking clearly. Also, anxiety and irritability.
I know. It's true, isn't it, Cara?
It is. It's just a vicious cycle, and not to mention the anxiety that comes from having too much caffeine that you're drinking because you're tired.
Right. So. You're kind of hard to get out of that fog that you're in, and you know. And I know personally for myself, if I don't get 8 or 9 hours of sleep, I feel sort of achy, and of course I go for more caffeine. And for the past several years, my caffeine, now it hasn't been coffee; it's been green tea, but let's face it, honestly, when you have too much green tea, it's not good for you. And this is something that I have discovered, is that I find that when I don't get enough sleep, because I kind of check my blood sugar and my blood pressure very often during the week in the morning when I first get up, and my blood pressure goes up a few little bit. And also, when I check my blood sugars, those fasting blood sugars are often a little bit higher in the morning when I haven't had enough sleep. I mean, it can be even 5 or 10 points, and that's a lot. Mm-hmm. And I discover then the next night, if I sleep enough, they're right back down. And just an interesting thing for people that are struggling with those blood sugar numbers a little bit. Maybe all they have to do is start thinking about getting an extra hour or two of sleep a night.
Well, and we know research shows that people crave more sugar. And also, metabolism slows down from not getting adequate sleep.
I mean, I think that's an interesting one, Cara. Just that whole idea is that people crave And I think if people would step back and think about it this morning, the people that are listening, and think about, okay, I only slept 6 hours last night, and am I really craving sugar today? Mm-hmm. Usually that happens. But the other thing is that it slows your metabolism. And so if people are wanting to lose weight, they're battling two battles then, aren't they? They're battling a sugar craving.
Yep.
And then they're battling a slow metabolism.
And giving into those sugar cravings, you know, once you start eating pasta or bagels or sweets, it's hard to get out of that cycle too.
Exactly. So again, you know, children need 9 to 10 hours of sleep a night, and adults really need 8 to 9 hours of sleep. So if you're having any health problems, the first question to ask yourself, am I getting enough sleep?
You know, when I couldn't sleep, I would experience fatigue and anxiety the next day. But there was also a lot of anxiety around going to bed and just worrying about not being able to get to sleep. So it was just really important that I got that issue fixed. I'm so glad I did.
And you did get it fixed, didn't you?
Yeah, I mean, every once in a while, you know, I'd say maybe once a month I have an issue, but it used to be a few nights a week.
Yes. So if you're having some trouble sleeping, you're not alone, because honestly, 1 out of 3 Americans experiences some insomnia on a regular basis, and 10 million Americans receive prescription medications, for sleep. I mean, that's a lot of prescription medications for sleep. So, you know, we have to, there's a lot of people that are having trouble sleeping, isn't there?
Yeah, it's a real problem for people. And, you know, sometimes someone will lay down and they're tired, but as soon as their head hits the pillow, their eyes pop open and their mind starts to replay every conversation that went on that day.
And that's that we could, what we call is that recycling or replaying those messages over and over. So trouble sleeping is one of the problems as nutritionists we see many clients for. And we know that they need more than 4 to 5 hours of sleep a night. And often the medications that they've been given, they're not really working. Or the other thing that people complain to me about is they may take the medication, but then they feel so drugged the next day. And so they're, what they're really doing is they come in and they say, there has to be a better answer. And what is the nutrition answer to this sleep problem?
Well, and to fix my issues, which I guess I should maybe tell people what my problems were. It went back and forth between trouble going to sleep, trouble falling asleep, and then also waking up in the middle of the night and not being able to get back to sleep.
Okay, so you had trouble both going to sleep,
mm-hmm,
and trouble waking up in the middle of the night.
Yep.
And those are the two common ones, isn't it?
And I had both, yep. So to fix the issue, I had to change some habits. And the first thing I did was to start eating more protein and fewer carbohydrates. And I work out a lot, you know that, Dar. So
yes.
I could potentially eat more carbohydrates, calorie-wise and everything, but just to help me sleep better, I need to focus on fewer carbs and really more protein and fat, healthy fat.
You know, and I think, Cara, this is one that we should talk a little bit about, you know, because I think that that's, you know, surprising to people that you had to start eating more protein and less carbohydrates, because I think a lot of times people will think, well, if I have a big plate of pasta or a bagel before I go to bed, a whole bunch of carbohydrates, that's going to put me down into a kind of a foggy sleep,
mm-hmm,
you know, and then I'm going to be able to sleep. But you might be able to go to sleep, but then you're waking up in the middle of the night, aren't you?
Yes, and that's because the blood sugar goes up from eating foods like that, but 2-3 hours later it comes crashing down, and that can wake anybody up.
So I think what Cara was saying is she had to really change her whole chemistry. And here's the kind of the answer that she found is that protein, you know, like chicken or steak or eggs or any of those kinds of things, that helps to make the brain chemicals called neurotransmitters. And those little neurotransmitters are the ones that kind of move between cells and let your cells talk to one another. And we need sufficient serotonin, and that's one of the neurotransmitters for sleep. And some signs of low serotonin is depression, brain chatter. You know, when you're talking to yourself and you're waking up in the middle of the night and you're talking to yourself all night. Well, and then another sign is migraines, carbohydrate cravings, you know, a short attention span, irritability, anxiety. And now these are all signs of low serotonin, which is a neurotransmitter, and of course, trouble sleeping. So Carr was eating more protein to build up this serotonin in her brain. Just like magic, wasn't it, Kara?
It was like magic. And we need to take a break, but when we come back, I will give a tip on a supplement that helps to actually make more serotonin.
Okay.
You are listening.
Living Life Out Loud on FM 107.1. Laugh along.
Well, welcome back to Dishing Up Nutrition. I'm Darlene Kvist, licensed nutritionist, and I am here with Kara Carper, nutrition counselor, and we are discussing the role sleep plays in your health. And we really have found the magic to, you know, diet to help people sleep and how to help them get 9 to 10 hours of sleep a night. And we know that when people do that, they have actually better metabolism. So,
And there's a couple of reasons for that. Lack of sleep results in weight gain. One, because it increases sugar cravings, like we said earlier. But just in general, it slows metabolism and it can increase insulin resistance and spike appetite. So just from lack of sleep, you can become a tired, sugar craving, junk food addict. Doesn't sound very good.
Just from a lack of sleep, isn't it? Now, Kara, you know, a couple of weeks ago when we were on the air, one of our listeners asked us to, we were talking about Halloween treats. And when she called in, she recommended that we give out some coupons. And so what we always say is, you know, avoid the high fructose candy that people often give out because it's inexpensive. You know, try to do something a little bit different, like stickers. Or maybe a box of markers or quarters or just anything in place of that high fructose candy. And so then a couple of weeks ago, this client called in and asked us to make up some coupons that she could also give out to kids that were coming so that when mom and dad went through the candies, they would find this coupon to nutritional weight and wellness.
I think it's a good idea. I heard that show.
So Leah did that, and she came up with a coupon that says Happy Halloween from Nutritional Weight and Wellness, and it gives people 10% off of any product, counseling, or classes. And so if people are interested in getting these, just call our office, and we'll make up a stack for you. And our office number is 651-699-3438. And I know Amanda's there this morning, and so just ask her, and she'll make up a pack of these. And I think it'd be great, because then we're really helping people do better through this holiday season. So
I know, because Halloween really sets it off, doesn't it?
It does.
It starts the season of sweets.
Yes.
That goes through New Year's.
So one of the things that if people have, if they have questions about their sleep this morning, you know, maybe just give a call to 651-641-1071, and we'll be happy to answer your personal sleep questions. So, you know, you were talking, Kara, because you had to change your sleep problems, and you were able to actually get over a lot of your problems. And so you started talking about that you started eating protein, right?
Yep. I just made sure that I was having protein at every meal and snack. And then on top of that, because we know that protein actually makes tryptophan, which converts into serotonin.
And we know that because we hear that at Thanksgiving time, don't we?
Yeah, well, you always hear about tryptophan in turkey, but any animal protein will convert into tryptophan.
And we know that it helps make more serotonin.
Yep.
And it makes people more calm and relaxed, right?
Yeah, it helps with moods. It definitely, we have to have enough serotonin for sleep. And so not only did I add that in my meals and my snacks, but I take a supplement as well. And it's a It's a tryptophan supplement. It's actually the form of 5-HTP, mm-hmm. and that's been very effective.
And you've taken that for a number of years, haven't you?
Yeah, I think about 3 or 4 years.
Yep, and a lot of people do. You know, I know for myself, since I've gotten older, I have to be more careful about caffeine. And many of my clients can't believe that the morning cups of coffee, you know, maybe they're only having 2 or 3 cups of coffee, but it actually interferes with their sleep. So for some people that are very sensitive to caffeine, even 1 cup of coffee in the morning can create a restless night. And that's kind of shocking to me when I discovered that about myself, is even 1 cup of coffee.
Right. And even in the morning, you know, yes. It's not like you're drinking it right before bed.
Oh, heavens no. But, you know, when I was in my 20s, I could do that.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
So biochemistry does change, too.
Yes, it does.
And I'm the same way, Dar. I have to limit my caffeine intake. I've discovered that I can't have more than 1 cup of coffee, and it has to be very early in the day.
Right.
You know, anything, well, for sure past noon would cause insomnia. So
it's kind of how people need to kind of understand their own unique biochemistry. And hey, let's face it, you have to accept your own biochemistry because it'd be silly for myself to say, oh, I'm going to ignore that and I'm going to have coffee in the afternoon and then not be able to mm-hmm. sleep.
It's not worth it.
It is not worth it.
You know, another regimen that I do at night for sleep is adding magnesium. And usually magnesium tablets contain about 100 milligrams per tablet. So I actually take 4 of those before bed, and that helps to relax. Magnesium relaxes all muscles. And so it's common to be deficient in it, and I must have been one of the people that was deficient because that's also very helpful.
Well, and actually, you know, I have one client that because of her serious sleep problems, she really was taking 10 magnesium supplement tablets a night, which is well over 1,000 milligrams of magnesium before she was actually able to sleep. But for some reason, her body was not able to, you know, either access it out of the foods or whatever the reason is that she needed more magnesium. But then once we hit that level, she was actually able to sleep. And also she felt less, she had less muscle cramps. And we know that like 62% of us are low in magnesium. And honestly, this is kind of shocking to me because 70 to 80% of children are deficient in magnesium. Now, what are some signs of low magnesium? Restless leg syndrome. And we see ads all over the paper, all over the TV about restless legs, constipation, anxiety, muscle cramps. You know, I always talk to clients that if they've got those foot cramps, those muscle cramps, they might have low magnesium and, of course, sleep problems.
Yes, and I had many of those symptoms, not to mention chocolate cravings,
yes.
which is actually another symptom. There is a certain amount of magnesium in chocolate. And really, all those symptoms that you just talked about are gone since I started taking 400 milligrams of magnesium glycinate.
Mm-hmm. And I often talk about this is that for my own personal blood pressure management, I take 300 milligrams of magnesium in the morning, and then I take another 300 milligrams of magnesium at night, and that helps to manage my blood pressure. And because it's hard to understand, but our blood vessels are actually muscles, and so that it relaxes the blood vessels, and then you have less problems with high blood pressure.
So it's good for blood pressure, too.
Yes. So if you are having senior moments or word recall problems, the thing to look at first is the lack of sleep. And research has shown that people who consistently get less sleep than they really need, they have decreased brain function. So as women, we often talk about, you know, have you ever heard people talking about the mommy brain? Well, a lot of times women are up all night with their baby. And because of a lack of sleep, your brain has actually stopped working. So, Cara, do we have a caller on line one or do you want to take it?
We do have a caller on line one. So Let's go ahead and take that. Okay. This is the first time I'm taking the caller.
Oh, okay.
So. Hi, Donna. Welcome to the show.
Oh, hi. I am calling about my husband, who is suffers from itchy skin, and it just happens at night. And he's been to a dermatologist and allergists, and he can't find anything to help him with that.
Oh, now, Donna, let me ask you some questions. Is he able to sleep through it, or does it keep him awake?
It keeps him awake.
Okay. So does, you know, when we think about itchy, and is it kind of itchy, dry skin?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, the thing that we look at first is essential fatty acids, like omega-3 fatty acids. So I would probably recommend him taking about 3,000 to 4,000 milligrams of omega-3s. And that reduces the inflammation in the skin that may be causing it to be a little itchy. And then for dry skin, we recommend another, it's an omega-6 fatty acid called GLA, gamma linoleic acid. And that helps with the dryness. And so he might want to actually take about 6 of those until he gets over this. And then he can probably cut back to a couple a day. But it's just a matter that he is, for some reason, he does not have enough essential fatty acids in his skin right now. And sometimes that happens as people get older, but it can happen even to kids. So those would probably make a big difference for him.
And do you think that that's something that it usually just occurs at night?
Yeah, I mean, he probably doesn't recognize how dry his skin is and how itchy it is all day long. It's there, but because he's busy and, you know, occupied in his brain with something else going on, it doesn't start to really bother him until he's at a quiet place, and then it really comes out.
Okay.
But, you know, so quite a bit of fatty acids, and very healthy for you, too, because, you know, omega-3s help your heart. So it helps everything.
Okay.
All right. Well, thanks for the call today.
Thanks,
Donna. So, Cara, are we and Nita taking a break? Or?
Yes. Well, let's go ahead and take another break. You are listening to Dishing Up Nutrition, brought to you by Nutritional Weight and Wellness, a company providing therapeutic nutrition counseling. And we were talking earlier about Halloween, and for many, this holiday starts the indulgence of candy that lasts through the whole holiday season. And candy these days isn't what your grandmother made with real sugar, real butter. You know, it's made with high fructose corn syrup and trans fats, two very harmful and addictive ingredients. So it's no wonder that you can't just stop with one. And we'll be back in a minute.
Living Life Out Loud on FM 107.1.
You're beautiful, that's for sure. You'll never, ever fade. You're lovely, but it's not for sure.
Well, welcome back to Dishing Up Nutrition. I hope you're asking yourself, how am I going to stay away from the junk food this holiday season and maintain healthy eating? You know, realistically, most people need support. Many of our clients are booking appointments every 2 weeks, so when January 1 rolls around, they will be feeling grand, proud of their discipline, and feeling great again. So if you want to book an appointment, just call our office. It's 651-699-3438. And if people have questions about sleep this morning, you can call us today. It's 651-641-1071. And we were talking, or did you have something you want to talk about before?
Well, I just wanted to pass on, we had someone call in with a tip on getting back to sleep. And she just said if she wakes up in the middle of the night, she'll get something to eat, and that helps her go back to sleep.
Right.
So then that, you know, Dar and I were talking over break on how important that is to balance blood sugar to sleep through the night.
So we always say you have to eat a balanced snack before you go to bed. So here's an idea, just as a possibility. Cottage cheese, some blueberries, and some almonds make a great snack.
Mm-hmm.
So, Cara, do you have another one that you usually eat?
Yeah, sometimes I'll have, you know, a couple tablespoons of peanut butter or any kind of, you know, almond butter and a couple of slices of apples. Otherwise, a really good one that our clients love is heavy whipping cream, so just real cream, and then some berries.
And, you know, the old Norwegian grandmothers used to do sardines on a wassa cracker. And that works great. And a lot of people love sardines, and they just have kind of forgotten about them, but they do really help you sleep. So,
and what do most people eat before bed, though, Dar?
Well, cereal.
Or popcorn.
Yes. And that's going to interfere with sleep because, again, your blood sugar goes up, right?
Mm-hmm. And you might get to sleep after eating something like that.
But then, crash-o.
Yep.
At about 3 o'clock in the morning, your blood sugar drops down and you wake up and you can't go back to sleep. Now, it might not be 3, it might be 4, it might be 4:30.
Mm-hmm.
Any of those times when the blood sugar drops down. So, just some hints for that.
Yep. So we need protein. Well, we don't have to have protein, but we have to have fat before bed.
Exactly. And a little bit of carb, I think. A little bit of carb. Like you said, you know, I said blueberries and you said little slices of apples or wassa cracker with the sardines. Those are a little bit of carbohydrates so that they also help to maintain a balanced blood sugar through the night.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we were talking before break, we were talking about those senior moments, those word recalls that people have problems with when they don't get enough sleep. Let's face it. And, you know, we were talking about how young mothers, we call it the mommy brain, and they forget things because they haven't had enough sleep. And I know Cassie, who is often on the show with us, she talks about she was up with her baby a lot for several months, and she was talking about her mommy brain all the time.
There's not only the mommy brain, you know, we hear about menopause brain. Women in menopause often complain of not being able to remember where they left their keys or, for that matter, where they left their car in the parking lot. So some experts would like us to think that that's a hormonal issue or a low estrogen. But, you know, could it be just a lack of sleep that they're having because of all the hot flashes and night sweats?
Yes. And we know that when people start getting quality sleep, at least 8 hours, suddenly their memory comes back. I don't know where it went, but it starts coming back and they love it that way.
Lack of sleep can also lead to insulin resistance and even worse, diabetes. So you have to just think, is the fast-paced lifestyle that we're living, is that the reason that so many people are overweight and becoming pre-diabetic or type 2 diabetic?
Right. So should we take another caller, Cara?
Yes, we do have a caller here. Hi, Kathy. Thanks for calling. Do you have a question for us?
Yes, I do. I notice if I eat too late at night or maybe even some couple cookies and I go to sleep, I wake up and I'm sweating. And also my husband, I notice when he goes to bed at night, he's like wringing wet when he's sleeping. Now he's like a construction worker and he eats... you know, a little later, and then he might have a couple beers before he goes to bed.
Okay.
But I'm wondering, is food eating too late, can that cause your body to be working overtime, trying to deal with some calories or something, and you're sweating?
I think.
Well, you know what I think it is it's not that you're eating too late. It's what you're eating.
And maybe.
The two things that you mentioned, you said cookies and beer.
Yeah.
Those are very high carbohydrate, high sugar foods.
Okay.
And so what happens is your blood sugar and your husband's blood sugar goes up, and then it's going to come crashing down at some point. And low blood sugar can cause sweats.
Okay.
So what I would recommend is if you are hungry, is just changing up your snack and having some nuts or... you know, some of the suggestions we gave earlier, cottage cheese.
Like cheese? Oh, okay.
Yeah, or a piece of cheese. That would be it. Try that and see if that makes a difference.
Okay. And I know you talk about the restless legs, and he has that too. And I was thinking about that magnesium.
Yep. I think that's a great idea, Kathy, because, you know, having him take some magnesium and cut out the beer at night because that's increasing.
That's what I was thinking.
Yeah, that's increasing It's increasing the restless legs, and it's also increasing kind of, he's having kind of like hot flashes now.
Yeah, because he's about 52.
Yep.
And men must have that problem.
They do,
too.
Because what happens is when men are carrying a little extra weight, they start to produce more estrogen in their body, and they are actually having hot flashes.
And when
the sugar... that's true for women in menopause, too, is if they start eating sugar before they go to bed, they're going to increase their number of hot flashes by far.
Okay.
So.
Yeah, because it is a concern. He does. He gets ringing wet.
He's got to change that. So, maybe drinking some mineral water or something else or something, you know, like an herbal tea or... I know it doesn't sound the same for him as a couple of beers, but he's going to sleep a lot better and feel a lot better in the morning when he wakes up. So
yeah, because he gets ornery sometimes in the morning.
Well, that's because he's not sleeping well, and that's what we were talking about. It's that irritability that, and it makes sense. So once people get a couple, a few nights of really good sleep, gosh, their mood is much better then, isn't it?
Oh, definitely.
So I love
your show. You guys really teach us a lot of stuff, and I'm grateful you're on, too.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Keep up the good work.
Thank you.
Thanks for calling.
So, Cara, are we going to take a break?
Yes, let's take a quick break. You are listening to Dishing Up Nutrition, and if you're just tuning in, we're talking about the health benefits of a good night's sleep today. And when we come back, we want to share some locations you can take our next series of weight and wellness classes, and that's another great way to stay focused on your health for the holidays. And also, if you have questions, give us a call at 651-641-1071.
Living Life Out Loud on FM 107.1. Laugh along.
If you want to feel better, you want to have more energy, you want to sleep through the night, feel less achy, improve your digestion and your moods, look at nutrition. Good nutrition can change all of those things, and the educators at Nutritional Weight and Wellness want to help you. They do this with their weight and wellness classes. It's a series of 6 classes you can learn so much about your body and how to properly fuel your body. Did you know that poor nutrition is related to more than 90% of all health conditions? Learn how to properly run your body. The educators at Nutritional Weight and Wellness can help you through the weight and wellness classes. Right now, if you register with a friend or family member, you'll each get $25 off. Sign up by calling 651-699-3438. Classes offered in St. Paul, Wayzata, White Bear Lake, Edina, Maple Grove, Burnsville, Anoka, Woodbury, and Chanhassen. For more information on a class near you, call 651-699-3438 or go to weightandwellness.com.
Because I kept my heart under control, but lately all this time is taking its toll.
Well, welcome back to Dishing Up Nutrition. If you think a nutrition class will be boring and stuffy, you haven't been to a class put on by Nutritional Weight and Wellness. The information is researched information, but it's taught in a manner that will help you make changes in your eating. You know, low-fat starvation is not our message. Healthy fats and real food is our message.
And starting the week of November 2nd, we have classes in St. Paul, Stillwater, Woodbury, Ham Lake, Burnsville, Maple Grove, Chanhassen, Minneapolis, Wayzata, Edina, White Bear Lake, and Anoka. So just take 2 hours out of your schedule and learn how to feel good again. And you can check out our website for more information. It's weightandwellness.com.
So just think about this. We have classes again in St. Paul. We've always had classes in St. Paul. But we have classes in Stillwater, so the people from Hudson and all that whole area can drive there. And we have classes in Woodbury. Ham Lake. I mean, a lot of people don't even know where these places are. Burnsville. You know, we have classes in Anoka, Edina. I mean, we have them all over. So we do that because people just cannot drive as far, and they're not tied up in traffic trying to get to one of our offices. So we actually had someone that asked us a question, didn't they?
Yep, we got an email question, and we just don't have enough information to answer it on the air. But if you're listening and you called in regarding cholesterol, go ahead and call our St. Paul office today, 651-699-3438. and just asked to speak with Tamara. She's a registered dietitian that is working at the St. Paul office today.
Okay. Yeah. So, Karen, do we have a caller, and should we take that before?
Yeah, let's take. We just got a call from Colleen. Hi, Colleen. You're on the air. Do you have a question?
I do. You guys earlier were talking about magnesium supplementation for magnesium shortages and talking about its commonality in kids in particular. And I don't know whether I missed it. I'm listening on headphones today while I'm cleaning the house. But I'm wondering if you, for kids, if there's anything other than supplementation that you could do, if there are any natural food sources that would be good sources of magnesium.
Well, you know, meat. Meat is a great source of magnesium, and nuts is a great source of magnesium.
Okay, that's
so. And then that, and often kids are not eating enough of those things. So,
and am I remembering right now? I'm just like, while you said that, is red onion a source of magnesium?
No, not really.
Okay, so any kind of meats and nuts.
Yep,
and leafy greens
fit with the blood sugar before bed too.
Right, right. So, and, you know, we, and some children, if they're really having trouble sleeping or they have muscle cramps or some of those other signs of low magnesium, I mean, at our office, we actually have a liquid magnesium that, so that it's, a lot of times kids can't swallow capsules or tablets, but they can do this liquid magnesium, and usually they only have to take like a teaspoon of it. It's not a high dose of it at all, and then that builds up their magnesium level. So,
okay, but there's no problem for kids in taking that. My son is 7. And
no, not at all. No problem at all. It's more of a problem to have a deficiency of magnesium.
Okay. Well, so. I think we might have hit on something. Thank you very much.
Yep, thank you for the
Appreciate
call.
It. Bye-bye.
Yep.
And, Dar, actually, we have another call, too.
Okay, we'll take another caller.
Hi, Dave. Welcome to Dishing Up Nutrition. Do you have a question about exercise?
I do, and my question is, can the intensity and timing of exercise affect the quality of sleep, either in negative or positive ways?
Well, you have the expert on that one, Kara.
Well, this morning I told Dar before the show that I worked out too late last night, and unfortunately it did somewhat affect my sleep. So, yes, the timing definitely can make a difference. I think, you know, exercise produces endorphins, and it actually, if you exercise too late, it can inhibit sleep.
I agree. I mean, I find that a lot of times I'm working out at 7:30 or, you know, 7:30 to 8:30, and sometimes then that revs me up, and then I have a hard time shutting back down so that I can actually get in bed and sleep quick enough. So, it does. It affects your sleep. So.
And I think the intensity part, too, that's going to be different for everyone. So you might have to just play around with that. And, you know, sometimes weightlifting can keep someone up, but doing a little bit of gentle cardio doesn't. So that seems to be kind of a personal thing, don't
you think? I think so, yep. So thanks for the call today. Hope we answered the question. I think Dave is gone, so...
All right, well, we need to take our last break here.
Oh, okay.
Time's
that was
going fast. I know. You're listening to Dishing Up Nutrition, and here's another sleep tip. I find that sugar usually interferes with sleep, so I try to avoid sugar, especially during the holidays when there's so much of it around. But that way, you know, I can enjoy time with friends and family and not be stressed out and anxious because I haven't been sleeping.
Right, exactly.
We'll be back in a minute.
Living Life Out Loud on FM 107.1. Laugh along.
Body rise. Liquids flow over me. Oh, chariot, your golden.
Well, welcome back to Dishing Up Nutrition. As a nutritionist, I've worked with many clients with very difficult, long-standing sleep problems. Sometimes it takes a few weeks to have success. But most, if not all, sleep problems can be solved. And it's usually a nutritional solution. So, and Kara, she is an expert with helping people restore their sleep. And we're all there ready to help you. So give us a call and make an appointment. It is at 651-699-3438. And Kara, we're going to take a caller?
We'll take one more call here.
Okay.
Hi, Chris. Thanks for calling. What's your question today?
I have a question about the magnesium.
Mm-hmm.
What type of magnesium?
Well,
I'm taking glycinate, but I know there's other types of magnesium.
You're taking the perfect form. That's okay. Probably the best absorbed form. So glycinate is a great form.
Okay.
There is one that is often that you'll find in it. It's a very inexpensive one that's called magnesium oxide. Does not get absorbed very well, and it often causes diarrhea for people. And then there is another form that's called citrate, and that gets absorbed pretty well. But again, if you take a lot of it, it can make for loose stools. So okay. Glycinate is the best form for you.
Great.
So thanks for the question. So, Cara, we were talking about, so that answered some questions about magnesium. And then we were kind of talking about, before we went on break, we're talking about people that are into menopause a little bit.
Yeah, we were talking about the mommy brain, the menopause brain. But if you are perimenopause or in menopause, we find clinically with our clients that most women will benefit from using a natural progesterone cream. And you can get this at our store. You can get it at co-ops. And usually just a quarter teaspoon rubbed on your wrist or your neck or your stomach will help reduce or even stop hot flashes. And it's very relaxing, and it helps people get to sleep and sleep through the night.
So, you know, we as nutritionists, we always recommend that snack at bedtime. And we've talked about that before. You know, we recommend a balanced snack like, you know, maybe apple with some almond butter or peanut butter, those kinds of things. But, you know, I know, Cara, that you have also taken 5-HTP or tryptophan.
Mm-hmm.
So will you just kind of explain to people how that works for you?
Sure. Well, I started taking this 5-HTP, which is just, it's a form of tryptophan. It's 5-hydroxytryptophan. And I used that for about a year, and for whatever reason, it stopped working for me. And they say about 15% of the population needs a different form. So I just take the actual tryptophan now. And that works great.
Okay. And how much do you take? Do you take one or four? Or what do you take usually?
I take 1,000 milligrams.
Okay.
I've talked to people that take 500 and they say that's sufficient.
Okay. And then so you take straight tryptophan,
mm-hmm.
but you used to take 5-HTP and that worked for 2 or 3 or 4 years, right?
Yeah, and I don't know why it stopped working, but
okay.
5-HTP works for more people than
yes.
the actual tryptophan. That's the first thing I would recommend.
And you usually used to take about how much of that when you were using it?
Oh, I'm sorry, Dar. I don't remember that.
Okay.
I don't remember the milligrams.
Well, usually a tablet is about 50 milligrams. Cara.
Oh, okay. Then I think I was taking between 100 and 200.
Okay. So that, you know, those are the types of things that helps to make more serotonin. And now I know that we often recommend another supplement that is called GABA. And Cara, have you taken GABA also?
Yes, that is part of my regimen at night with the magnesium and the tryptophan. I do take GABA, and I usually take 1,000 milligrams of that as well.
Okay.
And that's an amino acid, and it's very calming. So.